So I'm going to apologise to you because it was a bit of a... I didn't realise we were getting so many new songs and ones that perhaps you didn't know, so I'm relying on this front row here for the next one because you'll know it. And what we'll do is the next hymn that we will have it next week with the organ, and you'll get to hear the difference with the two pieces of music played in very different ways but with the same words. So we'll get to do that next week as well. Right, I wonder, how good are you at keeping secrets? Honestly, that's good, I like that, a bit of honesty. Honestly, how good are you at keeping secrets? Yeah, there's some laughing to the front, but everybody else is keeping very quiet, so I'll just keep going. Have you ever, I wonder, whispered to someone, right, I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anybody else? Knowing that you're placing pressure on someone to keep a secret that you just couldn't. Maybe you've said, I'm going to tell you this, but you didn't hear it from me. Yep, a few more giggles there, so obviously this is hitting home. Maybe you know that if the secret gets out, there will be consequences, but you just can't help yourself because you have to share it because you're so happy and so excited and it's just such good news. Now, Oscar Wilde once said that he could resist anything except temptation. And I wonder how many of us can keep anything but a secret. At all level of government, there is the issues of leaks. Newspapers give an ongoing account of what is going to happen the following day, of the conflict and the plotting, and what's going on behind closed doors. People know in advance of announcements or resignations or plans. Even presbytery committees leak like sieves. When it comes to confidentiality, it is hard even to find it sometimes in church. The scene in the text that we have heard this morning sees Jesus helping a leper who just can't keep a secret. Just to put this into context, earlier in the chapter, Mark tells us that Jesus has been baptized, he has been tempted in the desert, and he has come to announce that the kingdom of God has come near before going on to cast out impure spirits and to heal many. And in Jesus' day, there were many forms of leprosy, but they were all treated the same. The Torah, the law, made no provision for psoriasis or a bad case of acne. Leprosy was leprosy. And if the priest said you had it, the law was clear. From the book of Leviticus, we see these words: the leper in whom the plague is shall wear torn clothes, and the hair of his head shall hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. He shall dwell alone outside of the camp, shall be his dwelling. Leprosy, and to have leprosy was a game changer, or indeed was a life changer. If you had leprosy, then your fate was like a living death. Social stigma was the least of it. People assumed that if you had leprosy, you or your parents must have done something truly awful, and leprosy was your punishment. And once the priest had declared a person a leper, the person was cut off from his family and friends, or their family and friends, from attending the temple and worshipping and praying in community. The laws which had been introduced in reverence to God had become an affront to God and kept people away from him. They wouldn't be welcome in the synagogue, therefore they could not worship. God did not intend people to be punished for being ill, but the rules were the rules, and because of the mindset, rules were followed at the cost of compassion. Now, as you know, the Church of Scotland throughout its history has liked rules and regulations and deliverances and archaic language and practices. But I wonder what of our church rules, and there are so many of them, what of our church language and practices keep people away from God? How often could the words of Mark be leveled at us? Bear with me, I'll read that one to you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. I wonder how often those words from Mark's Gospel at chapter 7 could be levelled at those within the Church of Scotland. Instead of being in reverence to God, which rules and regulations do the opposite, and which ones are we willing to let slide that definitely should be kept? Now, I know that a number of ministers and congregations recently have asked about the possibility of allowing refugees to stay in vacant manses and in church buildings. And we have been given a lot of reasons by the General Trustees why this can't happen, or given numerous hoops to jump through to make it happen. Rules that protect the institution and property rather than relieve the burden of those truly in need. I think this would cause Jesus to be indignant. How we act individually and collectively as a church, nationally and locally, impacts people's understanding of who God is. Now, I'm going to see if I can find the right slide because I've noticed that they might be out of order, so bear with me. I apologize. That's the one. Jesus Called and Wants His Church Back is a book by Ray Johnson, who argues that the American church has lost a number of things that include aspects of kingdom life, and that the church is not only a safe version, but actually is becoming a corrupt version of what it was intended to be. That the church has become unwilling to unleash compassion, unwilling to be vocal on matters of justice, and has failed to treat everyone as not being beyond the reach of God. That the church has lost hope, it's lost its values and faith and security in who God is, the power that he has and the ability that he has. His argument could probably be extended to the church globally. What we project sometimes to the world is a distorted view of who God is, that God is inaccessible and unwilling to be involved with those out with church structures and walls. What we see in this interaction with Jesus and the leper, what we see in this interaction is the willingness of Jesus to interact with this man when others wouldn't. We see his willingness to touch him when no one else would. We see again the choice of God is willingness to engage, willingness to reach out, willingness to make the man clean, to do for him what he could not do for himself. Now that is true for all of us. God is willing to reach out to where we are. He's willing to do for us and has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Now, the text says that Jesus was indignant. Other texts say that he was moved by compassion or moved by anger. He clearly wasn't impressed that this man came to him in a way that humiliated him, in a way that drew everyone's attention to his suffering as they stood back to protect themselves. In addition, the man's words shows that he believes that Jesus can heal. I apologize, my slides are all over the place this morning. There we go. If you're willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And I wonder how many people think like the leper, that they are unworthy of God's compassion. The man's words, if you are willing, you can make me clean, brings us to the crux of the matter, the willingness of Jesus, the willingness of God. God chooses and is willing to become incarnate, to step into history in the person of Christ, to heal, to preach the kingdom of God, to suffer, to hang on a cross, that God may draw all evil to himself, to overcome it, that we may be reconciled to him. God is willing to make us clean. The passage, if you like, is the gospel in miniature, the willingness of God to reconcile the world to himself, to take away that which would keep us from worship, to take away that which would keep us from life in all its fullness, that which would force us into lives that God hasn't created us for. God is willing to make us clean, that these things may be possible. Now, we know from the book of Revelation at chapter 21 that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus' resurrection would show the intention of God to overcome evil and to draw the world to himself. The willingness of God cannot be understated here. The generosity of God cannot be understated here. God is willing to be in every situation and is in every situation. Now, Jesus in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. This extra, this generosity, this willingness is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what Jesus embodied. Now, I wonder how willing we are in life to go the extra mile with others, to give generously, to live unconditionally for God. That is what Jesus did. Now, Jesus did not drive the man away, although he had broken laws of impurity, and he wasn't supposed to get that close to anyone. But God does not have a problem with closeness or compassion. He is closer than the air we breathe. He is within, and his spirit is present to encourage and act as a corrective to the barriers we would construct. He acts as a corrective to some of our rules and regulations. We are often the barrier that keeps us from God. Jesus, having incurred ritual impurity by touching the man, would have had to stay away for people for a set time, kind of like our COVID isolation period. This meant that Jesus' plans had to change. He had to be flexible enough to change. And I wonder how flexible are we individually when it comes to change. I wonder what you think the church is like when it comes to change. Is it flexible or not? I like that silence. I'm going to suggest not very flexible. I'm going to ask another question. Is that healthy? I would suggest not. This is a quote from the evangelist Christine Kane. She says this, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not snap." Sometimes our rules and regulations box us in and keep us from doing that which we can and should do. Now, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the man, and knowing that doing so made him unclean. To Jesus, he was not unclean. He was simply a human soul in desperate need. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Here he sends the man away to fulfill the prescribed ritual. And Jesus did this to fulfill the law. He wasn't reckless. He didn't defy the conventions, but when needed, he submitted to them. The man, though, did not do as Jesus asked. Instead of going to the priest, as Jesus told him to do, he went out and told everyone what had happened. The rules of the priest would have brought the man back into community once the prescribed ritual had taken place. And without them, the man would not be allowed to worship in the synagogue. He would not be allowed to return home. He had gotten ahead of himself. And at some point, he would have realized that. But he's so wrapped up in himself and what Jesus has done for him that he has ignored Jesus' words or forgotten them. What was done to bring him back into community has not been treated as such. He is healed, and yet he ignores Jesus' words. Now, this is what happens